And we're back on the Ref's Call, driven by T. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. It is your local sports fix. We're taking you until 6 here on the Ref. Thanks in large part to our friends at American Family Insurance. Sandra Paylon, the agent, 812-426-3305. Whether it's your car, home, or more, American Family Insurance has policies tailored to meet your needs to help ensure peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Call Sandra with American Family Insurance. That's Sandra Paylon, 812-426-3305. So we're talking about local and regional sports here on WREF. And, of course, Indiana football's win against Oregon on Friday in the college football playoff semifinal. That's what this is all about. IU destroyed Oregon. 56-22. Now, it would be unfair of me, in hindsight, to talk about this game with an ounce, a shred, an inkling of shock. Because in hindsight, what reason did I have to expect anything less of IU football than to destroy Oregon? Because Oregon is in IU's path. Okay, it's a bit of a spoiler, but I was watching Landman. I don't know if anyone's watching Landman on Paramount Plus. I'm watching Landman, and I'm watching the episode that just came out yesterday, late last night. And there's a line that was pretty cool. The writing on that show is really good. So essentially, there is an angry character, and she's angry at this one woman. And she goes, "Do you know where you are right now?" Addressing her in her office. She goes, "My office?" She goes, "No, you are directly in the way of me achieving my goal." And that's not going to end well for you, essentially. I'm paraphrasing it at this point. And that's how I feel about Indiana football. Every time they play, if you're playing them, you are directly in the path of IU achieving their goal. And that is a dangerous place to be. So for Oregon, in hindsight, you had never had a chance. And you never had a chance because you're playing the top team in America. And why I'm surprised, or why would I be surprised that IU beat this team 56-22? I can't tell you. What I can tell you is it was never close. Friday night, as heard on WREF, pick six on the first play from scrimmage, D'Angelo Pons. And isn't it poetic that Pons was the one to get the pick and bring it back to the house? Because remember, in October, when IU played Oregon in Eugene, Pons was hurt. And he came back just in time for that game, and that was a big deal. But everyone was saying, with Pons not 100%, he's been hurt, he's going to be rusty. Surely IU's not going to beat Oregon, underdogs on the road. And of course, Pons played well in that game. He played especially well in this game, and Indiana's defense played especially well. Stephen Daly, the defensive lineman who went down for the season in the postgame celebration after winning the Big Ten championship, he has not been missed. IU has done a great job continuing to stop the run. They get home to the quarterback time and time again. Dante Moore never had a chance to read through his progressions to beat this IU defense. And that's all she wrote. Dante Moore was running for his life in this game, and that's why the defense was so good, and that's why they forced fumbles, they got interceptions, two of them. Special teams, if you want to include them into defense, I'm in fantasy football mode on it. Special teams blocked the punt, and IU actually had fewer yards than Oregon in this game, and yet still a 56-22 win. Obviously, the D'Angelo Pons pick six, it sticks out. Think about Dante Moore and the strip sack that he had. Again, the Hoosiers scored their first offensive possession of the game. They took the lead. After punting on the second offensive possession, Oregon had the ball at its own 13-yard line, and a self-inflicted disaster happened. Moore actually elected to pass the ball on an RPO after faking the handoff to De'Aaron Hill, the Ducks' number three running back. By the way, remember, the Ducks were down a running back because of Noah Whittington and Jordan Davison. They were hurt. Hill was very close to Moore. Moore went to throw and fumbled the ball, yielded an Indiana touchdown. So with that in mind, and that play, and then you keep on giving turnover after turnover, takeaway after takeaway for the IU defense. The IU offense, they capitalized. Fernando Mendoza, 5 touchdowns, only 3 incompletions in the game. And after IU went up 21-7, this is a big play, Oregon gained 6 yards in 5 plays before punting back to the Hoosiers, thanks to back-to-back sacks of Dante Moore. Didn't take long for IU to score again. Oregon punted the ball. 4 plays after getting the ball back, Fernando Mendoza threw his 2nd touchdown of the night with a perfect 36-yard catch, rather throw and catch, to Charlie Becker for a 28-7 lead. By the way, Becker was there when he had to be, but only a couple of catches, 1 touchdown for nearly 50 yards. He has, I think, 99 yards in 2 college football playoff games with only 4 catches, 2 touchdowns. That was a big play. Think about the block punt, like I said. Just different plays that swung momentum. And not only momentum, but it continued to reiterate throughout the game that IU was the better team. And that was the really cool thing, is that Indiana has had a chip on their shoulder all year long. And they have had something to prove all year long. And they continued to prove it throughout the night. It wasn't enough to beat Oregon. Okay? They had to destroy Oregon in order for Cignetti and Mendoza and Pons and Black and Hemby and Surratt and Becker and Cooper and Nowakowski, for all of them to feel that they did their part and they proved the point that IU is the best team in America, they had to destroy them, and they kept their feet on the gas the entire game. And some could call that bad sportsmanship. I'll call it a statement that Indiana continues to make. And let me just tell you this. After beating Oregon that badly in the college football playoff semifinal, and seeing how hard it is to win this time of year in college football, you saw what Ole Miss nearly did against Miami. Almost won that game. Miami eking past them in the college football playoff semifinal. It's hard to win. Indiana doing it with style points. There's no doubt in my mind that IU is the better team going into this game next Monday. And there's also no doubt in my mind that should IU finish the job, if they win this game, the national championship, finish the undefeated national championship run, they're going to be regarded, or at least should be, as one of, if not the best college football playoff teams ever, because they are the best team in the college football playoff era. But are they the best team in the history of college football? Maybe. You got the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who played outstanding against Oregon, made every right decision, including, by the way, taking that sack. When he fumbled the ball and got it back, he probably could have thrown the ball away, but he decided to take the sack. Was only sacked that one time. Protection was fantastic. So you give him credit. But this was never a game, starting with that pick six, first play from scrimmage, IU. It was a coronation for Indiana football, which is, of course, part of the allure of this team, that they had from wire to wire a win, a dominating win from wire to wire. And really cool moment for the IU fans that were there. And I mean, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium was taken over, was blitzed by red. It was a home game in Atlanta. And I know it sounds weird, but I expect Indiana to at least be repped 50% in Hard Rock Stadium this upcoming Monday in the national championship game, at least. I know it's a home game for Miami. Technically not, because it's neutral site, whatever, but ends up being their home stadium that hosts the national championship. It's essentially a home game right in Miami, but I know that this IU fan base is traveling well. They'll travel to Dubai. They don't care. Though, as long as this team is playing, they want to see him. And you know what? As long as this team is playing, you should go see them, because they are historic. They're one of the best stories in sports, certainly in football. The only thing I can think of as far as coolest football story, I'm not going to necessarily debate best sports story ever. That's a bit treacherous. I don't know why. For me, I can only think of Greatest Show on Turf. That's it. As far as real life, to scale, sports stories yielding a championship, Greatest Show on Turf, Kurt Warner, undrafted, arena football, and then becomes a Hall of Famer, Greatest Show on Turf, all that. That's, for me, where IU was and where they are right now. It feels like that degree of story, of underdog narrative, and of success, and of dominance. That's where Indiana is. Number one team in America. We knew that going into the playoff, and we certainly have proof of that after destroying Alabama in the Rose Bowl last week and destroying Oregon in the Peach Bowl this past Friday night. Indiana, as heard on WREF, they are poised to complete this run and win the national championship. I almost feel bad for Oregon fans. You know, something you can't really feel bad for the rich. Now, I say that not necessarily in terms of money, but Oregon has been competitive for a long time. Now, they haven't gotten to the mountaintop where IU is going. They haven't won it, the national championship. But think about this, okay? Dan Lanning has been a good coach for a while, and Oregon's been a good program for a while. I'm not saying I feel bad for Phil Knight, but he's invested a lot of money into this program for a while. Here comes Indiana, and 2 years later, after Mark Cuban starts upping the ante on his NIL budget, and Kurt Cignetti comes over from James Madison, la-di-da-di-da, IU has overtaken Oregon, and it ain't close. We thought it was close. In October, it ain't. It's incredible, incredible stuff. Indiana destroys Oregon in the Peach Bowl, and IU looking like the best team in college football right now. Elijah Surratt, 75 yards, couple of touchdowns, 7 catches. That's some of the best we've seen of him. And, of course, that connection with Fernando Mendoza, it wouldn't have happened without the run game. Establishing the run, that's something we talked about on Friday going into that game against Oregon, which was, hey, you got more than 90 yards from Kalen Black, you got more than 90 yards from Roman Hemby in the Rose Bowl win against Alabama. And that's why the offense was so good. And that's why Mendoza only had to throw the ball a handful of times, I think it was 16, and completed all but 2 of those passes. The run game opens up the pass game for this team. And that's what happened again. Deja vu. They listened to my advice, established the run on first and second down, and this team will be successful. By the way, Fernando Mendoza, I'm not trying to make him sound like a system quarterback. Okay, he is far from it. He made some throws, okay, in the game on Friday night in the Peach Bowl against Oregon that the other quarterback, Dante Moore, who once upon a time was regarded as a Heisman candidate, even front runner, back in October, certainly in September, he made some throws that Dante Moore is factually incapable of, physically incapable of making. Throws to the flat that we saw Moore attempt to complete in the first play from scrimmage ended up being a pick six. So let's just get that out of the way. He ain't a system quarterback. This is impressive. And his throws deserve to be celebrated and acknowledged and appreciated and listened to and watched on a national stage, and drafted, by the way, first overall. Really cool stuff. Again, we're here on WREF, and the Ref's Call is driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Head on down to Spanky's tonight, where the odds are always in your flavor. Their crispy cracker crust pizza, it's a guaranteed win every single time. Spanky's is on the west side, Schnucks Plaza, and downtown on Jefferson Avenue. Visit Spanky's, cash in on the best crispy cracker crust pizza in town tonight. Amari Brown and Stan Gerard, USI men's basketball coaches show tonight at Spanky's at 7 o'clock on the west side, and talking all things USI men's hoops with Amari Brown, who's only played in 2 games this year due to an injury, missed the first half of the year. He's been fantastic ever since his comeback, 17 and 15 points in those 2 games. And Stan Gerard will have a lot to say about the 2 losses from this past weekend, one against SEMO, one against UT Martin. Plenty to talk about here on WREF tonight. Again, we're here on WREF talking all things local and regional sports. Of course, Indiana football with that massive 56-22 win against Oregon. They're going to the college football playoff championship game, and we knew that this team had what it took to get there. We just didn't know if they were going to. It's not easy to win in the college football playoff. Ask Georgia. Ask Ohio State. It ain't easy to win in the college football playoff. And Indiana has done it twice now. Alabama and Oregon, Rose Bowl, Peach Bowl after the first round bye. But now that they're in the championship game, it becomes a little bit more tangible. It's not that we didn't believe that they could get there. It's that we didn't see it. We had to see it to believe it, especially with a team, a program that has been this dreadful, this unsuccessful until the last couple of years. So now that you're here, How do you feel? Should feel pretty good. Why? Because, yeah, you have the best team in America, but also because I think that you just beat the best team left in the field. I really believe that Oregon is better than Miami. Now, I could be wrong. I really believe that once Ole Miss lost to Miami in the college football playoff semifinal, that the national championship became Indiana and Oregon. That's not to say that Ole Miss would have been a front runner against either Oregon or Indiana, but once it became clear that the 10 seed Miami, who many believed did not even deserve to get into the college football playoff, once they punched their ticket, even though it's a home game for them, I felt like, okay, if IU can get past Oregon, and boy did they, they're going to be national champions. That's just plain and simple. They're going to be national champions. One thing Miami does great is they get home to the quarterback. Their defensive line is fantastic. And Indiana's offensive line, which has been tested and has passed the test time and time again, they're going to be tested probably more so this upcoming Monday in the national championship than they have all year. But outside of that, I like this. I like this matchup. That one phase of the game, yeah, could be tough for IU. But outside of that one phase of the game, if they can protect Mendoza, if they can establish the run, not quite as well as they did against Alabama and Oregon, I don't think it's fair to expect that. But if they can, then we're good. And IU fans should feel comfortable, confident, even certain about this win coming up on Monday in the national championship. So with that, we take a step aside. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. Still some more local and regional sports to talk about when we return on WREF, your drive home right here on The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan.